sorry, mother, to me. There's nothing like a movie to move me back to sanity when I have gone insane. A rainy Tuesday or a Saturday night when I messes with me, and then we start to fight. We both head for the flicks. Things come out all right. We both enjoy that show. When two brothers get bad and push each other around, a mother can set things straight. She can handle her boys. Mom can calm them down. She's got that special trait. Sometimes I am my own enemy. Sometimes my own enemy, it is me. Then my enemy and me go see a good movie. We come out friends again. There's nothing like the silver screen to patch things up, to intervene, to bridge the gap that lies between Loudon and himself.
Johnny Food Masters or cruising the parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked piss up.
Hello, sir.
Before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn, a complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. A tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts. The next show will start in 2 minutes.
Just a minute, folks. Yes, that's all it takes to visit our refreshment counter in the lobby. There you'll find popcorn and an assortment of popular candy bars to please every taste. Try one of these delicious candy bars. Big Time. Butternut. Milkshake. Payday. Topped with Hollywood's super rich coating of the kind you like best. They taste wonderful. They're delicious. They're nutritious. Get one at our confection counter in the lobby now.
The next show will start in 1 minute.
Thank you. everyone. You're listening to a new radio program called Watch This on 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle, the former host of Time Travel with Chris Earle on this radio air network for over 10 years. Thank you for listening and watching along to Watch This. Over the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about movies. I looked over my Blu-ray, DVDs, Laserdiscs, video collection that I have, and it turns out I had just as many movies as I did CDs and records and tapes and cassettes, so I figured a new show for 2018. My first guest is a longtime listener, longtime guest of my recently retired show. Please welcome Mr. Winston Kidd, everyone.
Hey.
Hello, Winston. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Good to be here. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So our sections are going to be Winston's five flicks.
My favorite movies, yeah.
The soundtrack of the week, which is going to be a deep audio cuts from the movies that you picked for the week, as well as a television show called Black Mirror, which is going to be part of the TV series of the week that I picked out. I'm going to do a streaming now TV series discussion of Black Mirror today. We're going to be doing something called Now Showing, which is going to be the top 10 movies that are in the theater right now. And we're going to play a game called See It, Rent It, or Skip It, where Winston and I will tell you what we would do about those top 10 movies that are in the theaters right now. We're going to do something called Ready for My Close-Up, which is going to be Winston and myself performing a scene from A Princess Bride today. And then I will give Winston my alpha genre big movie quiz, Chris's big movie quiz, alpha genre, 12 highly recommended picks from a genre. This week is the high school movie. I'm going to give you 12 flicks, the dirty dozen of movies that you should watch before you die today. And Winston will win either a great DVD or a consolation prize. So if you get 7 or above, you will win the DVD. If not, you will win the consolation prize. That will happen later on today. So this is from Wreck-It Ralph, the first movie Winston picked. It's from 2012, Wreck-It Ralph. So tell me why you picked Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies that you can watch it with, you know, family. It's a family-friendly movie. Watch it with my young boys a lot. And it has so many callbacks to the video games we grew up with.
Yeah, I like it too. This is a great movie. And it definitely goes back to all the old video games. Q-Bert is actually like a co-star in it.
He's a character in it.
Right.
And the Q-Bert character in the movie, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. The Q-Bert character is, at the end of the night, the arcade shuts down and all the characters from the arcades can kind of get together and they mingle, you know, they follow the electrical cords and they mingle at the electrical bus. And you see Q-Bert in there, you know, almost like a homeless person because mm-hmm. his game was shut down.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I like it. Like, Q-Bert's just a mess. He's just a complete mess. It's like he hasn't been doing much since 1983, pretty much, or pretty much when the dawn of the coin age arcades were ending, which was fading out toward the late 80s, really. So the plot of this is a video game villain who's Ralph. He wants to be a hero, so he sets out to fulfill his dream. But his quest brings havoc along the way to the whole arcade where he lives. And basically, if he makes a mistake, the entire arcade will shut down. Is that right?
Yeah. What's going to happen is because he allowed one of the characters who's a non-thinking character to go from the metal hero into Sugar Rush. If they got out of Sugar Rush, it would take down the entire arcade.
And Sugar Rush is another video game.
Yeah, and Sugar Rush is a video game. And the movie starts out with like an Al-Anon meeting where you have all the villains from all the video games talking about, you know, that they're having a little get-together talking about how they're bad, but that's good. And you know, how they live day by day being the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever thinks about, hey, what's the problem? You know, what are the hassles that the villains in these things have?
Right.
And this is what Wreck-It Ralph, he just wants to be loved.
Well, that's what I kind of like about this one and another one that you picked later, is it's a villain, and it's like, even though he's a villain, it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. That's what I kind of like. That was one of the promotions for it, which was pretty cool. And this is the director. He was a guy named Rich Moore, who also did, he worked on Ice Age and The Simpsons, and he helped out with Zootopia, another great movie, Finding Dory. It actually has John C. Reilly doing the voice, and Sarah Silverman and Jack McBrayer, I believe is his name from the Tina Fey show there, is the other one who actually plays Fix-It Felix.
Fix-It Felix. Yeah. And the Fix-It Felix love interest is actually the woman from Glee.
Okay. I'm not sure what her name is off there. So that's Felix's love interest in the game. So Ralph basically destroys everything, and Felix is the one that fixes it.
Felix has the magic hammer, and all he has to do is tap things, and they automatically get fixed.
Mm-hmm. So this was distributed by Disney. It's rated PG. It's got a running time of 2 hours. And the soundtrack, we played the theme at the beginning there. There's three other things that I'd like to play here. Let's play one of them. This is from Buckner and Garcia, and we'll come back and do some more commentary here on Wreck-It Ralph from 2012.
He's a giant of a man, 9 feet tall with really big hands, living in a stump on his very own land until his world went crazy. He was minding his own business on the day they came. They showed a piece of paper saying eminent domain. They built an apartment building saying progress was to blame. So he got mad and he turned bad. Turbocharged when it's applied. Not just a superintendent, he's a super, super guy, and everybody loves him. With his trusty tool belt and steel-toed shoes, nice hunters believe that Felix just can't lose. So when Wreck-It Ralph starts to come unglued, he doesn't get mad, 'cause he's so rad.
Is Wreck-It Ralph. You know what I love about that? The soundtrack's done by a guy named Henry Jackman, and he really did a great job, like, capturing the old 80s and 90s sounds.
Yeah.
And the fact that they got Buckner and Garcia, who were the two guys that did Pac-Man Fever, like, back in the 80s, I'm like, oh my God, they got the same guys from like 30 years earlier
to come out and do that.
And it's a great theme song. It tells you exactly what the game is and what the movie's about. I love it.
And throughout the whole movie, they kind of give you little bits and homage to all the other games.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them in there. I know Donkey Kong shows up at one point, right?
Yeah, Donkey Kong shows up at one point. The graffiti in Game Central Station, where they go after the thing shuts down, has a bunch of... So the graffiti kind of has inside jokes, including "All your base are belong to us," which is from the that really bad game Zero Wing in 1989.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Where they didn't have enough money to finish and to error check the translation. So a lot of the English in the game was really badly done.
Mm-hmm.
And "All your base are belong to us" actually in the late 80s became a thing.
Yeah. It was kind of like a trending now or a meme.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, Jane Lynch was who I was thinking of.
Yes.
Who you had mentioned is the from Glee. She plays Sergeant Tamora Jean Calhoun, who was a lead character of a game inside the movie called Hero's Duty.
and the person with the best lines in that happens to be Sarah Silverman. She does an outstanding job as
Vanellope Von Sweets, who's the racer or the glitch in Sugar Rush, which is the game within the movie.
Yeah, and you know, when Ralph is looking for the medal, he pulls out an exclamation mark instead of the medal, and the sound from the video game Gear Metal Solid 1998 comes on.
Mm-hmm.
they have two policemen, and the policemen are donut shaped,
right?
And they're referred to. Their names are Winchell and Duncan.
Well, now, what is Winchell? I know what Duncan
Winchell
is.
Winchell Donuts, which is
big
in other parts of the country that doesn't have Dunkin' Donuts, which we know very well here.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ralph meets King Candy, his first question is, "Who are you, the guy that makes the donuts?" So they were pulling on all the strings.
Yeah.
And so as an adult watching the movie with your kids, you sit there and you got to get pulled in on all of that, because it's like, oh yeah, I remember all of these things.
That's what's great is they do so many things that have, you know, in-house references for the adults too, which is great. And you actually mentioned that there's going to be a sequel, which I didn't even know about until you mentioned it.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Destroys the Internet.
Ralph Breaks the Internet, it says. Wreck-It Ralph 2. Which is coming in this year, the 21st of November, so Thanksgiving Day weekend. So they're looking, looks like Disney is banking on this one. If they're putting it out right before Thanksgiving, that's a sweet spot.
So they're trying to make the cost of the movie, if you go to buy it now, obviously is a key that they think they can make a lot of money off of this franchise.
Yeah. I was going to buy it yesterday, and I saw it was $25 still. So I said, I'll wait on that one. So I picked up three of the other movies out of the five. What was funny is the five you pick are all great movies, but I didn't have any of them in the collection. And I got a ton of stuff.
I
have a ton of stuff. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to build my collection more. So whoever picks their five flicks for the week, if I don't have it, I'm going to pick it up. And then at the end of the show, I'll just donate a library of movies to the library when I finally go. That's my plan. Donate it all to the Bedford Library, I think, in Bedford, Mass. Because they were always great with the rentals. So Wreck-It Ralph, I got another one here from Owl City. But tell me a little bit more about it. So why else did you pick it? It was nominated for an Oscar and a Golden Globe, but it didn't win for Best Animated Feature. I think it really should have won. It was an awesome, awesome movie. And it's got high ratings on IMDb. It's got a 7.7 out of 10, which is pretty high.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, the writing was really strong. The all the references and the tongue-in-cheek were done very well. Because they can be done and be done poorly. But Disney did a really good job with this.
I think so, too. I think it's definitely one of the overlooked Disney movies. Even though it did really well, it ended up grossing a good amount of money for Disney. Let's say it grossed $189.4 million.
Not too shabby.
Which is pretty good. And it cost them cost $165 million to make, and the box office around the world was $471.2 million.
Yeah, not too bad.
It's not bad. It's almost $500 million on one movie.
on one animated movie.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this is when the voiceovers were done, or when the voice actors got together, mm-hmm. in a lot of cases they got together and did it at the same time. Whereas typically the voice actors are doing this alone.
Right.
And then they edit them in.
Right.
The fact that the Wreck-It Ralph characters were able to be together allowed for a lot more improvisation and a lot more natural flow to the conversation.
Which is pretty good because, I mean, the four main stars there, you got John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, Jack McBrayer, and Jane Lynch, and they're all from comedies in the background of improvisation.
And that's what they were looking for, specifically targeting, you know, comedic improvisation as the for the characters to play that.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. And like I said, the director was Rich Moore, and the sequel is coming out. Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. And what I wanted to do as well was basically say where you can actually find this. So you can find it at like your Walmart and your Target and stuff, because I saw it there yesterday. You can actually stream it out there on the internet as well. I saw it basically out there on like Amazon and stuff, and you could stream it and things like that. But I didn't see it on any of the Netflix or the Amazon or any of those right now. But it's a great movie. Go out and buy it, or if you see it on a rental, you may be able to rent it for a few bucks. Anyway, we'll do one more song, and then we'll get into Winston's flick number two here. So this last one is from the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack. A great soundtrack, I should add. It's really cool to go in and check out some of these soundtracks. Another reason why I did this show and hear some of the music, because there's some great music in these movies that you really don't get to hear because they're in the background for only a few minutes. This is from Owl City. It's When Can I See You Again from the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack. Nice. Here on Watch This with Chris Earle and Winston Kidd. All right. Winston's five flicks. This is flick number two from 1956. The Ten Commandments from Cecil B. DeMille. It was his final picture, I believe.
Yeah, he died shortly after. He had a heart attack while filming.
I believe it. It's like 4 hours long.
Yeah. He had a heart attack because he climbed up like a 100-foot ladder to check a faulty camera.
Oh, really?
So he had a heart attack coming down off the camera. He took 2 days off of the filming and went back and finished it against doctor's orders.
Yeah. Goddamn. That's great.
5% of the film was actually filmed in Egypt.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he actually had asked the Egyptian authorities if he could film there and found out that they were huge fans of one of his earlier movies. Crusades, 1935.
Okay.
So what they said was, you treated us so well in that film, you may do anything here you want. So approximately 5% of the film was filmed in Egypt.
Wow.
And everybody, you know, we all know the story of Moses. There's some differences, obviously. They took some poetic license.
Right. So basically, it's the Egyptian prince, who's Moses. He learns of his true heritage as a Hebrew and his divine mission as the deliverer of his people. It stars Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner, and Ann Baxter from Paramount Pictures. It's rated G, and the runtime's 3 hours and 40 minutes. The soundtrack, we have the song in the background, the theme, the prelude, is Elmer Bernstein, who did all kinds of soundtracks. Just brilliant. This movie was nominated for 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. It won the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects. Its budget was $13 million, and its box office was $122.7 million, which is basically like $1 billion now.
Yeah.
And this movie actually shows every Easter, right, the Saturday before Easter, since 1973, every Saturday before Easter, and it's actually showing on ABC on March 31st this year at 7 p.m. It's got an IMDb score of 7.9 out of 10, the Ten Commandments from 1956. So tell me why you picked this one.
Because it's a classic. The other ones I had are all kind of goofy, and then I'm like, all right, let's dig in and pick something that's got a lot of good heritage, a lot of good artistic flair to it. Cecil B. DeMille was the oldest director. He turned 75 when he was directing this, making him the oldest acting director during the film.
Which is like 110 now.
Yeah.
Nobody lived till 75 back then. Yeah.
And it just, if you watch it now, you can even go on YouTube and you can watch just sections of it.
Yeah.
And you see kind of the way they talked. Yul Brynner gives the best performance. Charlton Heston's good, but Yul Brynner really steals this.
Yeah, Billy Crystal used to do a whole bit in his stand-up act of Yul Brynner doing the King.
The King and I.
And that's The King and I, yeah. He does Yul Brynner in that, too. It's just fantastic.
The story is that when Yul Brynner heard that he was going to be playing Ramses apart from Charlton Heston, and that he would have his shirt off for a lot of the videoing, he went into huge, you know, workout mode.
You have to
try to build himself up because he didn't want to be overshadowed by the physical presence that was Charlton Heston.
I'm 46 years old and I always walk around in a t-shirt. I'm like, I can never just go. I don't even like to wear the t-shirt in the shower. Yeah. I don't even like to be nude in the shower. I like to wear the t-shirt. Yeah.
So,
I also wear sneakers in the pool. Yeah.
But it's a G-rated movie, but there is an orgy scene.
Oh, there you go. So it becomes Caligula for a moment or two?
Yeah, it's too far away.
Does Cleopatra show up?
It was apparently with, there were hundreds of extras in this orgy.
Oh, there has to be for an orgy. Yeah.
You know, none of the CGI stuff you see today. I mean, there were real people. They're all there. Cecil B. DeMille is yelling at him. Apparently,
were they all comedians of the time?
Yeah. Apparently, it's reported that one of the women in the orgy scene, as time dragged on, said, just yelled out, just exactly who do I have to sleep with to get out of this movie?
There you go. There you go. That's a nice turn, huh?
But
I want to get out of the business.
But when you watch these things, the way they talked and the enunciation, particularly Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
And the old English that they use. It just one of my favorite scenes is the scene with the burning bush.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, they do it. I think they do it really well. I actually did a skit on that in my high school Bible and mythology class, which earned me a D.
Oh, you got a D. That's a passing, right?
Yeah, because Ms. Katniss didn't appreciate my locker room humor.
No, who does? Who does if you're, you know, back then, you're, what kind of teacher was she? English?
Oh, she was, yeah, she was an English teacher.
Yeah, my English teacher didn't like, well, she actually did. I could tell she liked me, but she went out of her way to show all the other students that I don't like them. You know what I mean? But she like winked at me because I know she liked me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either that or I was delusional. I don't know. It was one of the two.
Ms. Katniss didn't particularly like me, and the spin I did on the burning bush was that because in the Bible it says that, you know, Moses took a huge chance going back to Egypt because they were going to kill him. And so in real life, if somebody, you know, from behind a burning bush told you, hey, you need to go to a place where they're going to kill you, your first thought would be, dude, you've been smoking too many bushes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that was considered locker room.
If you go down to like Dorchester, there's all kinds of things burning there. Yeah. I think I told you this story before. My brother had an interview and he had to go through Dorchester. And as he was driving down the street in Dorchester, there was a burning, there was basically a park bench that was on fire. He went to the interview and then he came back about 45 minutes later. It was still burning.
No, nobody had shown up.
Nobody had reported it. Nothing. But and then right here in Medford, I always loved this story. I came in here on Christmas Day, and they had the manger out, and they had the scene going, and it was on fire. And I said, somebody should probably report that. And then, sure enough, the fire went down there. But I've never seen a manger over there at Town Hall in Medford anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah, things burning are fun. Yeah, as long as it's not inside the house.
Exactly.
If it's outside, as long as it's not in the house, it's pretty good. So that's the Ten Commandments. It's on ABC, as it has been for every year since 1973, on the Saturday before Easter. So this year, Easter's on Sunday the 1st. This is on ABC on March 31st. And also you can find it out there. I picked up the DVD for $10 at Walmart and Target the other day. I picked it up at a Walmart, actually. So they're out there, and it's a great movie. You picked two great ones. You want to get anything else you want to say about the Ten Commandments? Or
the reason it won the Oscar for special effects was because they did a tremendous job with Moses parting the Red Sea. I mean, it was incredible. What they did was they filmed it, and they filmed it, and then they played it in reverse, so you could see the waters parting, going backwards, and they. So it was really good. They did a great job with that. The other interesting fact, is that baby Moses, in the show, was Charlton Heston's infant son.
Really?
Yeah,
that's cool. Wonder if he's still alive. I know Charlton Heston passed a couple of years ago. I bet you his son's still alive. Wonder if he even remembers that. You know, how many early memories?
Yeah.
It's like, I played baby Moses' son. It's like, you like that movie that comes on every Easter. I played baby Moses' son. Charlton Heston and his son is Frazier Clark Heston. And Holly Ann Heston, so it must have been Frazier he played.
Yeah,
okay. He's got an acting credit in the Ten Commandments as infant Moses, it says. And then he did his only other acting credit, The Search for Michael Rockefeller. He was the narrator. Isn't that bizarre?
Wow.
Yeah, so his son never did any acting other than that. And he was a narrator 50 years later on another movie. Isn't that interesting?
That's pretty crazy.
He went into film producing and directing and screenwriting, but he did not stay an actor.
The other thing was during the Bush sequence, the question was brought up as to who played the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it was Cecil B. DeMille, wasn't it? Or no?
during the bush burning sequence, it was a mixture of the kind. They've kind of melded Cecil B. DeMille and Charlton Heston. At least that's what they're saying.
I mean, nowadays you'd get James Earl Jones, right?
Or Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, right? Yeah, you'd have to get somebody with that deep voice of authority now. But yeah, great, great movie. So again, Easter's coming up, and it'll be there around the Saturday before Easter. So that is from 1956, from Paramount Pictures, The Ten Commandments. And then it's also, we have to mention again, it's an epic. It's got an intermission in the middle of it. So it's 3 hours and 40 minutes. And what I love about these old movies, and Quentin Tarantino tried to do something similar with it when he did The Hateful Eight. In the middle of the movie, you have like 10 minutes of music.
Yeah.
You know, you go out and you could get yourself some popcorn, a soda, or whatever, talk about the first half of the movie with people and go back in. It was called like a road show. They used to put these movies on the road, and it was an event when you went out. It was a night out. People dressed up. People had, you know, dinner, and then they had their dress up and snacks and talk, and then back into the theater again. All right. Be back in a moment. You are listening to Watch This with Chris Earle, and guest is Winston Kidd today. We are doing Winston's Five Flicks. Number three is coming up in just a moment.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Chris Meledandri.
Oh.
The executive producer of Ice Age.
Please.
For Gru, being a supervillain isn't easy.
We stole the Statue of Liberty. The small one from Las Vegas.
He has to control.
Listen up, please.
An army of minions.
Dave?
To outsmart a ruthless archenemy.
Shrinkley?
No! Oh, I hate that guy.
And he's about to inherit.
Hello?
Three small problems.
You will not cry, or sneeze, or burp, or fart.
No annoying sounds.
Does this count as annoying?
On July 9th.
We are going to steal the moon!
Carell is Gru.
By the time I'm done with Gru, he's gonna be begging for mercy.
Now we have to warn him. And fast!
Just because he's a bad guy doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
All you gotta do is knock down that spaceship there.
Aww. Oh, somebody's got a frowny face.
Okay, my turn.
This big guy, this big, this big.
Despicable Me in eye-popping 3D.
Is the new weapon you ordered?
No. I said dart gun.
Oh, yes. Because I was wondering, under what circumstances would we use this?
Okay.
I'm having a bad, bad day. It's about time that I get my way. Steamrolling whatever I see. Huh, despicable me. I'm having a bad, bad day. If you take it personal, that's okay. Watch, this is so fun to see. Oh, despicable me. Why ask why, better yet, why not? Why are you marking X on that spot? Why use a blowtorch, isn't that hot? Why use a chainsaw, is that all you got? Why do you like seeing people in shock? But my question to you is why not? Why go to the bank and stand in line? Just use a freeze gun, it saves me time. I'm having a bad, bad day. It's about time that I get my way. Steamrolling whatever I see. Oh, despicable me. I'm having a bad, bad day. If you take it personal, that's okay. Watch, this is so fun to see. Oh, despicable me. Why ask why when this is art? Why parallel when I could just park? Why does Vector think that he's smart? And does his dad know I know his part? Why did I have to live with my mom? Why do you think that I should be calm? Why want the moon, the world's in my palm? Is it crazy you think I've gone? I'm having a bad, bad day. It's about time that I get my way. Steamrolling whatever I see. Oh, despicable me. I'm having a bad, bad day. If you take it personal, that's okay. Watch, this is so fun to see. Oh, despicable me.
Freeze ray!
Excuse me if you will. You look like you have time to kill.
Freeze ray!
Can you chill? Cause Groove's got the speakers in the trunk to make you bounce, 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 to make you bounce, 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 bounce. I'm having a bad, bad day. It's about time that I get my way. Steamrolling whatever I see. Oh, despicable me. I'm having a bad, bad day. If you take it personal, that's okay. Watch, this is so fun to see. Oh, despicable me.
Despicable. Despicable. Despicable me. Despicable me. Despicable me. Despicable me. Despicable me. Despicable me.
I'm having a bad, bad day. It's about time that I get my way. Steamrolling whatever I see. Oh, despicable me. I'm having a bad, bad day. If you take it personal, that's okay. Watch, this is so fun to see.
All right. Winston's Five Flicks, number 3, Despicable Me from 2010. What a fun movie this is.
Oh, it was a great movie.
P. Pierre Coffin, Chris Renard, the directors, starring Steve Carell, Jason Segel, and Russell Brand. Gru tries to be the world's greatest villain, but he's not yet. He's vying to be the world's greatest villain. So him and his crew of hilarious minions plot the crime of the century. Let's steal the moon. But he meets his match when three little girls steal his heart. It's by NBC Universal. It's rated PG. It's an hour and 35 minutes. Pharrell Williams did the fantastic soundtrack. I got a few other clips from the soundtrack here. You can find it on DVD or Blu-ray for around $10 and streaming online for about $4, which is nice. So tell me why you picked Despicable Me from 2010, Winston.
Because who couldn't use just a cadre of minions?
That's right.
To help you out.
We were seeing another movie. This is my first memory of this movie. We were seeing another movie, and the trailer came on. And the marketing for this was brilliant because they had about 10 different trailers for this movie before it even came out, like a year in advance. And it was the Minions, and they did something, and we couldn't stop laughing. I'm not even sure. I think they just kind of did like a Three Stooges thing, but it was so damn funny that we just couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, we have to see that movie.
Yeah, because the... I think it was one where they were slapping each other. It was a slapstick thing, and then they'd start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And the minions laugh, as well as the minions' language, which was written by directors Coffin and Renault.
Mm-hmm.
They called it Minionese, and they wrote it as they filmed it.
It's brilliant. It's like The Sims. If you ever played The Sims, it's just like a lot of people mumbling, you know, and Minionese. You know, and occasionally they will have a word that you understand, but you kind of get what they're doing just based on their looks.
Yeah, their
and
looks
it's so infectious, you know.
And it's perfect. It's like that really makes the movie between the minions and the girls. I mean, the girls just played the perfect foil to Gru trying to be the tough guy and just using. He goes through and he adopts them only as a means to try to get to his arch villain and to try to get into him by selling Girl Scout cookies.
Right, right.
And his plan was then to give the girls back, but they wound up growing on him during the movie. And Russell Brand does a terrific job throughout the entire 1, 2, and 3, Despicable Me. Russell Brand plays
the scientist.
Scientist,
right? Yeah, Dr. Nefario.
Dr. Nefario, and I didn't realize that it was Russell Brand until I saw the credits.
Right, right.
And he does a great job.
Yeah, he does a good job. And Jason Segel is Victor Vector Perkins, who is the arch enemy, who's actually the world's greatest supervillain that Gru is trying to beat.
And the funny thing is that in order, it's like they've done a little twist on things, because in order to be a villain, you have to plan this next big heist, and you go to the villain bank to get funding. So you have to put together a presentation to the people at the bank.
Right.
As far as, hey, I want you to fund my next heist.
Which is stealing the moon.
Stealing the moon.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And there's been three of them, and they actually had the prequel, which was Minions, which shows the Minions as the main characters. I haven't seen that one yet. I've actually seen just the first two. It's great, great, great movie.
Great movie. Despicable Me 2 actually does really well for a sequel. I think it's just as good as the first. 3 kind of drops it a little bit because there's only so much you can do. But in Despicable Me 2, Kristen Wiig does an outstanding job. And, you know, and Russell Brand and Steve Carell both pull up, you know, continue to do tremendous work.
Yeah, she's Agent Lucy in the second one, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, she's Gru's love interest. They eventually get married in the second one.
Mm-hmm. And then the third one, his brother shows up. Is that right?
Yeah, he goes to visit his brother, and he goes from being, you know, in the second one, he's trying to go straight, you know, and he's making, rather than being a villain, He's using his minions to try to create a delicious line of jams and jellies.
Of course he is. Have you ever made jam? It's pretty hard, actually.
No, I haven't.
I made jam before. It's hard. The canning part of it was what I liked the least. It just like went everywhere. You had to boil everything, but great movie. Great pick. And I love how it has, it's got the Bee Gees in the background with them dancing at one point. You know, I got the Bee Gees in the background here. But it's a great, great soundtrack, the first one with Pharrell Williams. And then, of course, the second one had Happy, which was a phenomenal hit.
Which was just a huge hit.
Amazing, amazing how that one just took off. But yeah, you can pick up all of those movies. Despicable Me, you can find the third one is out for rental on Redbox. And 1 and 2, you can actually get a box set, 1, 2, 3, and Minions in the stores as well.
But, yeah, the Minions are not strong enough to carry a movie.
I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah, they're good. They're good sidekicks, which is what they were written to be, right?
Yeah, they're outstanding sidekicks. Because they can play the foil in one of the second movie. They're all being kidnapped and you don't know by who.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point Gru's in and he's yelling, "Kevin, Kevin, the Wi-Fi is out." And he can't find anybody. He's got hundreds of minions and he can't find anybody. Mm-hmm. And he yells out, we're gonna have to have a discussion about vacation time.
Nice. Yeah, one of the things in the soundtrack here that I was playing is the Million Minion March, which is brilliant in itself. The Million Minion March by Pharrell Williams. So I got one more here from the Despicable Me soundtrack. This is actually a prelude to we were talking about how there were previews and the promotions for Despicable Me. They did the same thing for Despicable Me too. They did a lot of short films and short songs and stuff. So this is a prelude to Despicable Me 2 in the background here. I'll be back in a moment. It's Watch This with Chris Earle and Winston Kidd. Thanks for listening to your freeform station, WMFO in Medford.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
This is Freeman Dyson, and you're listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Do you love classic rock but hate the lack of variety on classic rock stations? Then tune in to Classic Rock Mine. Classic Rock Mine delivers classic rock that rocks. From bands you know like Grand Funk Railroad, Mott the Hoople, and Uriah Heep, to bands you don't know like the Flower Traveling Band, Papo's Blues, and Nectar. Classic Rock Mine. It's the best classic rock you've never heard. Saturday nights from 9 to 11 on 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts University Radio.
Hi, we're John and Vince from the band Cake, and we're fast losing our hearing, and music is our only livelihood, so it really leaves us in a desperate and depressing situation. If we had worn earplugs, if we had been smart, we could have averted this. But now it's pretty much over.
So wear your earplugs, please.
You're listening to Watch This on WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. My guest today is Winston Kidd. We are doing Winston's five flicks. He picked five flicks for us to discuss, five of his favorites. We talked about Wreck-It Ralph. We talked about the Ten Commandments. And we're talking about Despicable Me. And that banana song is fantastic. Isn't it? It's so good. It's Bob Aran,
but
by the Beach Boys, right?
Right.
And they just do banana because they like bananas, and they freak out when a banana comes, right? They do everything for bananas.
That's the whole thing. It's like a Klondike bar for them.
Yeah, it's pretty much like what a baby does. Babies love bananas, so the Minions are kind of like babies,
and
right?
You know, and they're small and soft and round, so.
I love how they do all the different looks for each one of them, too.
Yeah, and they didn't make them all cookie cutter.
Yeah, it's so cool.
They originally were going to be like people, like thugs, but, you know, they didn't have the money to animate all those thugs, and so they just made them like little minions,
right?
And it was a huge success.
I should mention, $69 million it cost to make the movie. It made $546.1 million around the world.
And that's just Despicable Me 1.
That's just number one. Yeah. Crazy, huh? And it also has an IMDb score of 7.7 out of 10. Also very, very high for a score for IMDb. So you got three big winners so far with those three. Wreck-It Ralph from 2012, 1956's The Ten Commandments, and also the very first of its trilogy. It actually has four out when you call Minions as the prequel for Despicable Me from 2010. We got to make something like this. We have to make something like a Despicable Me. Then we just retire, you know? It's just like, okay, let's make the first one.
That was good.
Run with it, everybody. See you later. Just like George Lucas. Be like, all right, I'll take that $1 billion.
We'll do the first one, and then we'll consult on the follow-ons.
Yes, and just have everybody else write it for us after we're all done. Anyway, so let's talk. Anything else to say about Despicable Me before we move?